This tutorial is brought to you with support from The Global Voice. It's community-driven online radio. Go and have a listen to their shows by visiting theglobalvoice.info. I'm Scott, and today I'm here with one of my main men. Tell the good people what your mother flipping name is.
Justin.
We've gotten together to have a chat so that we can break down some of the terminology that you're going to encounter as you begin to use Reaper. We're going to be covering terms like non-destructive editing, the master track, folders, tracks, items, takes. Oh my, there's a lot to get through. But it's not all going to be talk. There's going to be some examples thrown in there for you as well. Grab yourself your favorite sustenance. Get comfy. Let's do it. The first thing we want to explain is that Reaper is a non-destructive editor. What does non-destructive mean, Justin? Talk me through it.
So basically, for those of you who may have come from things like Sound Recorder, Gold Wave, Sound Forge, etc., everything goes from A to B to C to D to E. And once you've built up your tower or baked your cake or however you want to think of it, you can't go back, change step C without losing everything you've done afterwards. You can't rebake the cake. With Reaper, you can. With Reaper, if you don't like an edit you did 60 edits ago, or if you think this effect should be a bit more or be a bit less, you can change anything, anytime. Try all these different configurations, and that means you can add more polish to your work. I used to do everything, complex audio drama projects, in a two-track editor. Someone likened it to cleaning a bathroom with a toothbrush. And it really was, because I had to keep saving files here, saving files there, mixing those files in, not liking it, hitting the undo button 27 times, redoing it. Reaper, you don't need to do that. You can pick the element you want and surgically alter it. And the original media is never changed because of the RPP file, which I think Scott will explain really well.
The RPP file is your project file, and you can kind of think of that as like a giant set of instructions. So when you're editing in Reaper, taking this out, moving that slightly, cutting this shorter or making this little pause longer, all those little tweaks that you're going to learn to do, the actual source recording that you've captured originally isn't being changed. What is being changed under the hood is the instructions in the RPP project file. It's essentially a log that Reaper uses, and it says, okay, cool, this person wants me to play from here to here and then skip this bit, and we want to move that bit a little bit later in time, and we're going to move this little bit earlier in time, but the original source recording stays unchanged. And the reason that we're spending so long explaining this to you is that so long as you don't meddle with the files in your project folder, anything is tweakable after the fact. So essentially, you can't break it. I mean, the nature of editing is that it's an art form like any other. To start with, you probably will make some pretty ugly edits. Everybody does, man. That's part of the journey. But the important thing to keep in mind is that whatever you do inside a Reaper project is recoverable, changeable, tweakable.
Remixable as well.
Yeah. I mean, we've just been talking about this in terms of slicing and dicing and arranging content. But all of this non-destructive stuff also applies to volume and pan and what your effects are doing. So essentially, whenever you come back to a project and you think to yourself, oh, I know a couple of things that I didn't know 3 weeks ago when I did this project, you can improve it.
I think the two things that non-destructive editing gives you are greater potential for precision, so you can have things exactly the way you want to, and you can refine and refine and refine, and greater confidence to experiment as well. Reaper is a totally elastic sandbox, to mix my metaphors horribly. So you can just go forth and do whatever you want to do, safe in the knowledge that the recordings you made or the files you've imported are going to be absolutely safe.
The other thing that Reaper is, in addition to being a non-destructive editor, it's also a multi-track editor. What's multi-track, Justin?
Multitrack is basically your ability to organize content really well, again, so that you can change particular elements without affecting everything else. So if you have your song, you're going to have kick drum on one track, you're going to have your snare on another track, you're going to have your hi-hats on another track, you're going to have your vocal on another track and your keyboard on another track. And what this means is you can affect them all individually and make sure they blend just right.
We can have a listen to an example of that, actually. Here's a clip of a song I've been working on recently. Each of these elements are spread out across tracks. For example, here's just the kick drum. And here's the bass guitar. We got two guitar parts going on in this verse, two separate tracks as well. Here's the rhythm. Here's the lead.
And likewise, if you're more into audio drama work, say we were producing a making of these tutorials docudrama. So I might want to introduce you to my life, me chilling out in the back garden. It's summer. So on one track, there'd be the bird song. I might want to spice it up with more layers, so we might introduce some bees on another track. Some traffic on another track. And then on another track, sounding much louder, but not changing the volume of everything else, so we've got it all nice and tamed, we have the giant stomping footsteps of Scott approaching to find out why I'm wasting time and why I'm not keeping to his deadline. To emphasize the tension, we have some suspenseful music on yet another track. And we build this up to make an impactful,
horrible
scene.
Okay, so that's multi-track, but you're also going to encounter words like folders, items, or takes. Talk us through how those things interact, if you will, Justin.
I tend to think of Reaper rather like a Russian doll. It has layers that slot into one another. So working from the top down, when you open Reaper, you will always have a project. You cannot have Reaper open without there being a project open. That's your blank canvas. That's your space to work in. Along this project runs an infinite timeline. If you press play in Reaper with the metronome on, it will click away to you, marking the passage of time. You could go on a cruise and come back 4 weeks later. Reaper will still be clicking away, marking the passage of the infinite timeline. Along that timeline, in parallel, run the tracks. Now, onto any one of these tracks, you can position items along the timeline. And these are containers that allow you to govern your source media in that non-destructive way we were talking about. You can store multiple files in each item. An item can contain audio, video, or MIDI data. Think of an item like a chest of drawers, because it can contain more than one piece of media at a time. So each drawer would be one of these pieces of source media, and they're called takes. Each take is like one of the drawers in that chest. So if you record multiple takes of a performance, a vocal, a poem, whatever, you can pick per item which take you like the best. So now if we work from the bottom up, if we think of audio like a river flowing through Reaper from its source, that's the particular take we're working with, that flows into the item. It flows from the item to the track. Now, it's possible to create folders to group tracks together. So, for example, you might make a drum folder containing all your drum information, or a vocal folder containing all your harmonies, perhaps, or all your vocals, full stop.
Let's take a listen to some examples for that last piece of the puzzle, folders. And I want to try and show you how I tend to group things into folders for processing during a mix. Let's go back to that song we were listening to before. Last time around, we just listened to the kick drum. Here is the kick, snare, hi-hat, toms, overhead mics, rooms, all routed through one folder. And I'm processing those all together as one instrument because, after all, even though it's got X amount of mics positioned around it, the drum kit overall is one instrument. So here's that drum sound before processing. And here's that drum sound after processing on the folder. Similarly, with vocals, we've got a lead vocal.
I'm trying to find a reason to be there.
We've got a double, which is essentially the singer singing the same part.
I'm trying to find a reason to be there.
I've just tucked the double underneath, volume-wise, just to provide thickness and extra dynamic in the chorus. And we've got a horrible backing vocal by yours truly.
Checking the stars out, checking the stars out.
And again, they're all running through a folder, processed as one instrument. So here's the sum total of the vocals pre-processing.
There's a chance he'll have his time again, yeah. I'm checking the stars out, I'm checking the stars out. I'm trying to find a reason to be there, to be there, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to find compassion, find compassion out of love.
And here's what that sounds like after I've worked some magic on the folder.
There's a chance he'll have his time again, yeah. I'm checking the stars out, I'm checking the stars. I'm trying to find a reason to be there, to be there, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to find compassion out of love.
And then all that information flows to the master track. Your master track is like your master fader on a mixer. It's like Reaper's speakers. Everything goes across the master track, and that's what you hear.
Alrighty, last thing for today. Let's just talk about some of the concepts that you're going to encounter when you start editing in Reaper. Talk us through it, Justin. What's a time selection? When would you want to edit based on a time selection as opposed to editing items, for example?
So people coming from the two-track environments we've discussed, like me, are probably used to dropping a marker at the beginning of the bit they want to edit, a marker at the end of the bit they want to edit. In Reaper, that will be a time selection. Delete that and everything's gone between those markers. Now that's all well and good, but you're actually deleting a portion of your timeline, which you might not want to do because there might be things on other tracks that you want to preserve. Let's say you've got a piece of dialogue over a piece of music and you want to delete a section of that dialogue. If you do it the time selection way, you're also going to delete a corresponding section of the music, like this. So I'm talking away, and I'm losing track of what I'm saying, and I want to cut that out. So I'm talking away, and I'm losing track of what I'm saying, and I want to cut that out. Oh, but I cut the out, and a bit of the music's gone as well. That's what happens with time selection-based editing. Enter items. So on your track, you have an item, which is the person's dialogue. What you can do is you can create splits at the start and the end of the part you want to edit out and delete the intervening item, which does not delete a section of the timeline. It just tells Reaper, I don't want you to play the piece of audio between the splits that I've created. So it's more efficient and precise than time selection based editing. So I'm talking away, and I'm losing track of what I'm saying, and I want to cut that out. And there you have your edit. Where I find time selection based editing really useful is if I find that a bunch of edits that I've done are redundant. So let's say I'm editing someone's speech, and they're talking, and I'm editing out this breath, this noise, this cough, etc. And then I find that they actually think, oh no, I messed that up, I need to start all over again. And so all the edits I've just done are redundant. This, by the way, is sorted out if you listen to your piece before you start editing, so that you know that restart is coming. But let's say I didn't do that. It's inefficient to select multiple items. Make sure you're not deleting the wrong ones, too much, too little, etc. So then I would put a time selection marker at the start of the redundant material, a time selection marker at the end of the redundant material, press delete, and there's all those items gone. Now, if there's material on other tracks, it's not just easy as start marker, end marker, delete. Otherwise, you're going to snip out those bits of audio on other tracks, as I mentioned. But it can be done.
And we're going to be coming on to how to do this stuff in situ, the practicalities of it, in future tutorials. Stay tuned. This tutorial was a co-production between me, Scott Chesworth, and him, Justin McLeod. I edited the dialogue and did the musical examples. Justin did the other examples, did a much better job, to be honest, but I pulled them about a bit anyway, because I'm in charge.
Hashtag neurotic.
We were funded by TGV Productions. Big thanks to them. If you'd like to get involved in supporting this project, you can send PayPal or Cash App to training@theglobalvoice.info. You can write to the same address if you want to send us some feedback, or if you've used this to get started with Reaper, send us a copy of something you've recorded. Our outro music is Just Coasting by Leo the Slowly Moving. How's that?
Yep, I think that's good. I mean, you can always redo it.
Yeah, hopefully not. All right, shall we stop?
Stopping now.